Okay, today's reading is Psalm 34, and that can be found on page 561 of the Blue Bibles. That's page 561. Psalm 34, of David, when he pretended to be insane before Abimelech, who drove him away and he left. I will extol the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. My soul will boast in the Lord. Let the afflicted hear and rejoice. Glorify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord and he answered me. He delivered me from all my fears. Those who look to him are radiant. Their faces are never covered with shame. This poor man called and the Lord heard him. He saved him out of all of his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him, and he delivers them. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. Fear the Lord, you, his saints, for those who fear him lack nothing. The lions may grow weak and hungry, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. Come, my children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Whoever of you loves life and desires to see many good days, keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking lies. Turn from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their cry. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut off the memory of them from the earth. The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears them. He delivers them from all of their troubles. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. A righteous man may have many troubles, but the Lord delivers him from them all. He protects all his bones. Not one of them will be broken. Evil will slay the wicked. The foes of the righteous will be condemned. The Lord redeems his servants. No one will be condemned who takes refuge in him. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Lord, open all our senses to your word today through your Spirit. May we hear your words of peace, words of comfort, words of challenge. May we taste and see the goodness of your love more fully. Amen. It's really wonderful to be with you this morning. Paul and I have done a sort of direct swap today, which is actually an absolute joy. I think it's a bit cooler down at St. Lawrence's, actually. You know, that's the advantage of a really big stone building. It tends to just be really cool, but really freezing cold in the winter. So we have the advantage down there, I think, today. But I have the great pleasure of being and sharing with you. This morning is the first, as Tom said, in a really creative and thoughtful summer season, which Tom has put together. And the series looks through Scripture at the many ways God connects with us through our senses, the senses of sight, of hearing, of touch, taste, and smell. The senses that most of the time we take for granted, don't we? But they're senses that delight us, that protect us, that warn us and heighten our awareness of the awesome things of this life and our ways through which we can apprehend the reality of God. And so we explore this morning the whole area of taste. And I want to look, in doing that, at the significance of taste and food in our lives and in the Bible, and especially how that connects with Holy Communion, which lies at the very heart of our worship as Christians. It's a huge subject, and I kind of only scratching the surface really this morning. Well, that, I hope, is an introduction and an invitation to us all to do some reflecting on that subject ourselves. We often hear the phrase, don't we? We might say it ourselves, or we hear other people saying the phrase, "Oh, that really left a nasty taste in my mouth." It's a phrase that well expresses perhaps our deep disappointment and sadness over something that someone has perhaps said or done, which lingers, which leaves a bad taste in our mouth. It may even be something that we have done or said ourselves that we can't quite get rid of. And my prayer this morning is that through our learning together and our worship, we might be those who, above and over all of those things which have left or leave a bad taste in our mouth, we nevertheless can taste and see that the Lord is good, and increasingly be those who leave a good taste in the lives of others, not a bad taste. Food is incredibly important in our lives, not just as a necessity, but fundamentally to share food and enjoy it is a big part, and I thank God for that, don't you? A big part of what it means to be human. I don't know what your favourite flavours or tastes are. It's a nice thing to think about, isn't it? It's the sort of thing you get maybe asked, what's your favourite food? What's your favourite flavour? It might be strawberries or really lovely curry or a pint of real ale or a Magnum Ego. I'm admitting to nothing there. But if ever your taste buds have been compromised in some way, perhaps through medical treatment or an illness, you will know that not being able to taste is a pretty awful thing, isn't it? I actually visited a parishioner in hospital this week who is having that exact experience. And the description he gave about losing his sense of taste was that he'd look at food and think, oh, wow, that's nice, I'm really looking forward to eating that. And he said he'd put it in his mouth, and the expression he used, which I thought was really poignant, was, it's like it turns to dust and ashes in my mouth. That's a horrible thought, isn't it? Flavour and taste is always enhanced, isn't it, by the love which somebody has prepared a meal for us. Makes a meal better, doesn't it? We know when it's been prepared for us with love. Its flavour is also enhanced, I think, when we have the blessing of being able to eat with other people, something that isn't afforded to everyone, to actually eat and share the company of other people. That makes food taste better, doesn't it? I always think eating outside also makes food taste better when the sun is shining. So if we rush food in a kind of functional way, like sometimes I'm guilty of doing when you're rushing from one thing to another and you just have a sandwich on the hoof or breakfast while you're on the telephone, a piece of toast in one hand, it's dreadful, isn't it? It may fill us up, it may do the job, like putting petrol in the car, but we don't really appreciate it and probably forget to be thankful for it. We don't truly savour its flavours. The wonderful psalm that we've just heard is calling us to slow down and to savour God's goodness and mercy and appreciate its depth and its flavour and allow its goodness to become part of who we are, to change us inside out. The summer, I think, certainly for me, is an ideal time to step outside of our usual timetable and regime, to savour God's goodness. And it may be that you might like to just take a couple of verses of Psalm 34 every day while perhaps you're eating your toast and just savour those words. It may be if as a household or if you're living on your own, you've kind of got out of the habit of saying grace before a meal. Maybe the summer is a good time to get back into that just pausing before the gobbling starts. So food is incredibly important in our lives, and food is incredibly important, you'll be pleased to know, in the Bible, both in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. The very first meal, the very first story we hear of in the Bible involves the crunch of an apple, which leaves a very nasty taste in the mouth of Adam and Eve. The huge central truth in that story helps us to understand human sin, which leads to shame and blame and fear and brokenness. Everything that is not good. We need to be those who use all our senses to discern what is good from what is evil. And we read in Exodus of God's instruction to his people before their escape from Egypt of what they should eat in preparation, the Passover meal. We read about God sending manna to his hungry and disgruntled people on their way to the promised land. Again, the land of milk and honey, lovely images of food. And of, yes, it's inevitable with human beings, isn't it? Their ungratefulness and moaning, which leaves a nasty taste in God's mouth. We read another wonderful story in 1 Kings of the widow and Elijah, and the miracle of the oil and the flour producing a constant supply of bread for their needs, a sort of multiplication of goodness and blessing. And there are many, many other examples of that in the Old Testament. But food becomes a central aspect of what it means to be a Jew and is a fundamental part of worship, both in the home and in the synagogue. What is eaten, how and when for a Jew was and remains a reminder of God's covenant and law. It defines who and whose they are. To eat the right things in the right way at the right time mark them out as God's people. So it's no surprise that the psalmists and indeed, you know, the prophets Isaiah and so on often use the metaphor of food, of hungering after God, of tasting of his goodness, of the sweetness of God's words. Beautiful words in Psalm 119. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey in my mouth. And in the New Testament, we see Jesus turning, and I love this story, turning water into the best, most flavoursome wine. We see a few loaves and fishes transformed into the best picnic ever. We see Jesus dining with people right, left and centre, and in doing so, sharing the truth of who he is and helping others to understand who they are in God's sight. Think of his dining with tax collectors and other assorted sinners, inviting himself to tea with the local rip-off merchant Zacchaeus. The meal at the home of Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, the barbecue on the beach. He calls his followers to be salty, not bland, to enhance our world, bring out goodness, and preserve the good. And many of Jesus' parables, as you well know, are Jesus speaks of banquets and of feasts, of invitations to come and dine. And most importantly, the heart of how Jesus communicated the sharing of his life for the world, the overturning of the nasty taste of sin, was within a simple meal based around the celebration of the Passover, where he called his friends to take and eat, to drink of the life he was to offer to the world through his death, to taste the flavors of life. And so, Holy Communion, or the Eucharist, the Lord's Supper, the Mass, whatever you might call it, all the same thing but different names, has become the meal which helps us to define who we are as the Christian community. And just like our family kitchen table is a place of connecting and belonging in a home, so the communion table is the place of our belonging and identity, a place of transformation. It is the place and time where we remember God's call to taste, to literally taste and see that he is good. It is a table of unity, a place of healing, of being filled with all that nourishes and is good. Not an empty ritual or a bit of religious magic, but a table where we come face to face with grace and mercy, recognizing that it is only through Christ that we can know ourselves forgiven and free from the bad taste of sin. Isn't it wonderful that God chose to show us that through the sharing of a meal, a simple thing that is part, so much part of what makes us human? No wonder the word Eucharist means thanksgiving, and that the person who hosts that meal is often referred to as the celebrant, because it is the meal of the greatest celebration. We have so much to be thankful for in and through Christ. In sharing bread and wine today, we give God the opportunity to leave a good taste in our mouths, to redeem the bad tastes of this life, and be those who leave good tastes in the mouths of those we meet. Flavors of blessing and of goodness. May we taste and see that the Lord is indeed good. Amen. Now going to read a short sort of reflection, kind of poem, just to gather our thoughts and just to ask for God to minister and bless us in our understanding of his goodness. You may like to close your eyes, just be quiet. Come and eat. Come and drink. There is no price on this meal. The menu is nothing but love. Love to share. You are welcome at the feast. The flavors are rich in forgiveness, humility, healing, and peace. Flavors to be savored, not snatched at, gorged on, or picked over. Sometimes such a taste is hard to swallow, when we become so used to the taste of bitterness, of fear, of having to earn our way or to prove ourselves. We are offered a little with great love, and as we share, the love is multiplied and our taste buds explode on our tongues like the best meal we could imagine, or a glass of the finest wine. We taste something of heaven, unadulterated, no additives. A meal to nourish, a meal to heal, a meal to leave us longing for more, a meal to leave a good taste in our mouths, so that we might live good, live God. Take, eat, drink this, taste, and see that God is good.